today on More to Life. Listen up. Are you having trouble feeling heard? Are communication problems plaguing your relationships? We'll help you make a clear connection. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, listen up. Are you having a hard time feeling heard by someone? Are communication problems plaguing your relationships? We want to help you make a clearer connection. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, communication is imperative, but it can be difficult sometimes. You know, I often think of that old, I believe it's an old Indian story about, you know, the elephant, right? There are all these blind men who are trying to figure out what this elephant is. And one's feeling the leg of the elephant, and one's feeling the trunk of the elephant, and one's feeling the tail of the elephant. And everybody thinks they have their own picture of it. So one is saying, well, it's a snake. And the other one's saying, it's a tree. And the other one's saying, you know, it's a hose of some kind or a vine. And it's not the same picture. And they all just start arguing with each other and thinking the other person's crazy.
Well, and I think that story is perfect because it gets right at the heart of what we're talking about here, that we're called to create communion through communication.
Because when we don't work on our communication, we end up with divisiveness instead of the communion that God is calling us to live with one another in. That's very nice when we talk about it in big picture ways. When we talk about it in your own particular life, it's also painful. It can also lead to near occasions of sin, or even occasions of sin, where we're resenting each other, or we're feeling torn down by one another, or we're fighting one another, or we're just fighting in our own heads so much that it's destroying our relationship and the other person doesn't even really know all the things you're thinking. Yeah, it's complicated. Let's talk about how it's complicated in your life and your relationships today so that you can bring peace and communion into your communication and relationships.
Deep cleansing breath.
Don't we need that on a Monday?
877-573-7825. Call up and share. Are you struggling to communicate with someone you care about? Or maybe even someone you don't, but you just have to deal with. Do you feel misunderstood or wrongly criticized for something you said or did? I mean, you know, you didn't mean it that way, but they certainly took it that way. Are you in conflict with someone or having a hard time getting past a disagreement with somebody? And it seems like no matter what you say, you just end up digging the hole a little deeper. Well, let us help you find grace-filled ways to create communion through better communication. The number again, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering what that is and how it could possibly help you deal with miscommunication, well, you've come to the right place. So St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections on how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of creation, and particularly the way he works through salvation history.
The theology of the body reminds us that the primary way we build the kingdom of God is by building real communities of love between us and the people who share our life. Seeking to understand another person, especially when it's difficult, is what allows communication to become communion. Really listening to each other is hard sometimes, but if loving another person means helping them to become everything God created them to be, then love begins with taking the time to really listen to each other so that we know what each person needs to grow and to flourish.
You know, the more difficult a conversation is, and the more we struggle to get our own point across, the more important it is to listen to the other person's needs, their concerns, and their perceptions of what we're saying, and the reasons that they're having a hard time hearing us. And that's kind of tremendously hard, you know. So when we find ourselves experiencing any communication breakdown, the first thing we need to do is pray in the moment. And if we can pray with them, that's great. But if not, either way, we can pray in our own heads, say something like, God, please give me your heart to love this person the way you would have me love them. Give me your ears to hear their concerns, and give me your words to say what would help me charitably communicate the needs you've placed on my heart and attend to theirs as well. You know, if we can do that, God is going to help us use every conversation, not just to break through the barriers, but to grow in virtues like self-control, respect, compassion, and love. You know, cultivating a spirit of understanding through better communication isn't just good for our relationships. It's actually a spiritual exercise, and I think not a lot of us think of it that way.
None of us really think about it like that. It just feels like hard work.
Yeah, but it really is a spiritual exercise that allows us to love each other as we love ourselves. And I think, I mean, honestly, if you look at even just the news and how social media is blowing up these days, and the back and the forth.
Great example.
I think this is a perfect example of how we are all struggling to listen to one another and to learn from each other and really hear what we have to say. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, we can all just be one big, whatever, kumbaya fest sitting around a campfire or something. But I think that if we could all do a little bit better job actually listening,
especially to the people that God has put directly in our lives,
instead of just accusing or lashing out or cutting off or assuming or any of the things that we all tend to do, I think we could start to work a little bit more toward creating better communion through better communication. So is there somebody in your life that you're struggling to communicate well with? Maybe it's your spouse. And you guys are butting heads, and you're starting the week not feeling great about each other or the days ahead. Maybe you and one of your kids is at it. Maybe that's your teen who's pushing back against your values or your rules, or an adult child who you maybe had an argument with over the weekend, and where we're looking at the choices that they're making, and you're not, you know, you tried to say something helpful and didn't go down so well. Or a million other possible ways that we step on each other's toes. Often by accident, sometimes on purpose, but we want to help you break through those barriers and start listening up, really hearing each other, and building a clearer connection. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for all the different people that you've placed in our lives. Because even though it can be difficult and frustrating to deal with those differences, we know that by attending to them, by listening, we can begin to learn what you have to say to us through those people. You know, each person is created in your image and likeness. Certainly Scripture reminds us of that. Your servant St. John Paul reminded us of that. And that when we take the time to listen to others, especially those who think differently than we do and feel differently than we do, we start to hear different parts of you being communicated through the people in our lives. So we ask you, Lord, to help us to hear what you are saying through those people that you've placed in our lives, so that through better communication, we can create clearer communion that rooted in your grace and moving toward your prayer that all would be one in you. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Listen Up. As we talk about communication and the ways it often breaks down, are you struggling to communicate with someone you care about? Or someone maybe you don't care about but have to deal with anyway? Maybe you feel misunderstood or wrongly criticized for something you said or did, which was taken really the wrong way. Maybe you're in conflict with someone who has different opinions than you do or sees a situation very differently than you. You're having a hard time getting past a disagreement because you don't know how to get your needs met and attend to theirs. Whatever the situation is, let us help you find grace-filled ways to create stronger communion through better communication. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Connie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hi, Connie. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I'm hoping you can help me. My daughter and I have been somewhat estranged for several years and have been moving toward restoring that relationship.
Oh,
and
praise God.
Now, yeah, it's actually very encouraging. But the side of that is there's history, right? And there's hard feelings. So how do you get past that history, especially when, you know, one person has a different memory of things than maybe someone else has? So obviously I want to keep moving forward. It's been a great year. It's very slow, but this year has been a lot of progress.
That's wonderful.
So going forward,
and you just want to keep going, yeah.
Yeah. So how do you do that? Or is there a good resource that you can point me to for a counseling option?
Sure, I got lots of good stuff for you, I think. So let me start. I tell you what, is there a specific example that you'd like to kind of work through, or do you just want some general tips on when old stuff comes up, how not to get bogged down in it?
So the old stuff is what's preventing moving forward. I know she feels deeply wounded.
So maybe give me an example of that, because I really want to respond to whatever the specific concern is.
So, unfortunately, there's not a specific concern. So many years ago, her dad and I were divorced, and she was very small when that happened. So I was on my own raising, you know, two small children, and that's obviously a long time ago. And I'm sure I was very stressed. Was not as present as I should have been. And she felt that, but I think I don't want to speak for her, so I want to be careful.
Okay.
But all that to say, basically, severed a relationship about 8 years ago. And basically, there was very little communication. She didn't want to have communication. It took me a long time to be okay with that because, of course, I wanted to reach out and wanted to do things, and she's still my daughter. And unfortunately, I wasn't encouraged on the other side to repair anything.
All right. So, well, let me offer some, please. I'm sorry. I just want to make sure that I get to offer some things.
Yeah.
Three or four minutes I got left.
There's so many things I don't, you know, it's too big to go into. But at this point, it's how do you move forward? How do you restore that based on someone who has a lot of pain and and be respectful.
I got it. All right. All right. So let me offer some general principles, and then I'm going to offer you two resources to kind of follow up if you want to get a little bit more specific. So in general, you know, when you're dealing with stuff that, you know, is kind of ancient history, I don't mean to dismiss it in that way. I mean, it still hurts as long as it hurts, right? But, you know, you're talking about childhood wounds that you really can't go back and do anything about. You know, how do you deal with that compassionately? Because our natural tendency, I mean, you know, on a good day, we try to be empathetic. But then we kind of fall into the, but you really need to get over that, you know, and that never goes down well. So how do we, you know, your heart's in the right place and you're asking a great question. So what do we do? The most important thing we can do is, number one, empathize. Like I said, I'm really sorry that you felt that way. Obviously, I never wanted that to happen. I'm sorry that it did. I'm sorry for my part in it. I understand that doesn't make it better, but I want you to know that I'm here for you, and I want to hear whatever it is that you have to say to me, right? So number one, you can lead with that empathy. Second thing, you want to clarify, how is that affecting you now, right? You know, that was a really hard thing to go through when you were little. But you're bringing it up to me now because you feel like, I think, that there are still things going on in your life now that you're that you feel that old thing, that old hurt effect is affecting you. Help me understand what's happening now that you're struggling to get a handle on, right? And then part three is, okay, now I think I understand that. Is there anything I can do to support you, to help you, to, I don't know, encourage you through that present example of how that past thing is still affecting you? You know, whether that's, you know, hey, you know, can we go to counseling together like you suggested, or, you know, more specifically, if she's saying, you know, I just have a hard time talking, being confident in the situation, it's like, okay, well, you know, we can talk through that together maybe, and I can kind of help you find some of your strengths to talk to me about that, you know. But the point is, whatever the specifics are, you want to empathize with the thing because you want to help her feel heard first. Because if you try to move her on too fast, she'll get offended, like you don't want to hear, and you're just brushing her off. So, you know, you'll be able to tell when she kind of locks in and says, Mom really gets this. And then you follow it up with the, but you know, you're bringing this up because there's something going on now, I think, that's making you think about that, or making you feel like that old hurt is making it hard for you to succeed in this area of your life. Would you mind telling me about what that's about so I could really understand how you're experiencing this now? So there you're taking the empathy a little bit deeper, and she's like, wow, Mom's really getting this. She sees, and maybe you're even helping her make connections that she didn't make, right? And then the last part would be, again, is there anything I could do to support you in that, to really kind of help you handle these situations in the present better? Right, because it's not really ever so much about the old hurt. It's there's something going on now that I don't know how to handle, and I'm not sure what to do about it. And I'm looking for something or someone in some ways to blame, or I genuinely don't know what to do. But if you're willing to come alongside of me and help me connect those dots, and then offer some ways to be there for me, that really goes a long way. Now, I'm going to have to go to break, but let me give you a couple of resources since you asked. Lisa and I did a book called Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. And it walks through all of this and more about how to rebuild relationships when there's some estrangement, how to deal with old hurts when your kids are accusing you of things, how to navigate differences of opinion or belief, any of those hurts that come from them making choices that, you know, when they are living differently than you raised them to. It's a small book, but it's got a lot of great principles and a lot of great examples. And it's Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. You can get that at CatholicCounselors.com, and if you're interested in more kind of personalized guidance, you can also learn more about our Catholic counseling practice there, where we can work with you to help you find faith-filled ways to respond to these challenges and continue to build the rapport between you and your daughter over time. But those are resources. I would start with the suggestions that I made here. If you'd like to go a little bit deeper, the book, Having Meaningful Conversations with Our Adult Sons and Daughters. But if you want more personalized attention, you can learn more at Catholic Counselors while you're looking for the book there, too. Thank you so much, Connie, for the question. God bless you guys. We've added you and your daughter to our More to Life prayer list. We'll be asking God for His grace on your relationship, that you would draw closer to each other in Him. And whatever we can do to support you in that, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. With that, we're taking a break, but when we come back, we're continuing to take your calls at 877-573-7825 about communication and the times it breaks down and all the many ways that it does. If you are struggling to communicate or overcome a conflict with someone in your life, let us help find the next grace-filled steps to resolution. 877-573-7825. We'll be back with your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores Popcheck, who's a counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He'll be sharing some insights on how to get past those times when we are tempted to react rather than just listen. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
While I was working at this Protestant station, in the midst of being challenged by former Catholics, I received this book from Ascension Press, and I became hooked on apologetics. I discovered Catholic Answers. I discovered EWTN. I started listening to all these programs. I would just go to local Catholic bookstores and grab every single book I could on apologetics. Deep in my heart, I knew that it was true, and I trusted the Church for her 2,000 years of teaching. I knew a certain amount of scripture, but I wasn't able to defend it as well. That period of my life where I worked in Christian radio and was challenged by former Catholics, as painful as it was one of the best things that ever happened to me because it really forced me to dive in more deeply and fall even more in love with the Catholic Church.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, the show is titled Listen Up, as we talk about those times when communication breaks down and how can we build better communion through more effective communication. 877-573-7825. Well, joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's an expert on practical applications of the theology of the body, as well as being a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
You make me sound so cool. I appreciate being here.
Well, you are cool.
You are cool, dude.
And we're glad to have you here. So, you know, we all have heard that listening is so important, right? But, you know, you were saying over the break that not all kinds of listening are created equal. What do you mean?
Well, it's true. I have a really great mentor who's been really helpful in my life, and he kind of puts it this way. He's one of these real outdoorsy kind of Catholics, and he talks about how listening effectively means listening like a monk, and he compares that to what he describes most of us as doing, which is listening like a spear fisherman.
What a great visual!
Right. So he says a monk, you know, sits there meditatively and absorbs everything without agenda. And certainly, you know, in the Catholic mystical tradition, we're familiar with this idea. You sort of enter into a space with God, and you're going to let your mind wander with Him, and you don't have a particular agenda for it, right? You're able to absorb whatever He's bringing up. And if He brings up something that's very small, you're able to sort of just explore that and be present with Him in that. And you know, you're able to in, you know, kind of total silence, just absorb and absorb and absorb and be okay with it kind of traveling in any direction. That's how a monk listens. Right? That's how a monk listens to God. Hopefully, you know, that's how a monk listens to me in confession, for instance, right? But my mentor often describes it and says, you know, most of us are listening like spear fishermen. You know, if you look at a great spear fisherman, they also will be silent. They also will perceptively seem to be, you know, kind of listening, right? You know, similarly to, you know, how you might see a monk if you were just kind of viewing them 10 yards away, right? But they're listening in a completely different way. A spear fisherman is just listening for any kind of movement in the water that he can stab into, right? He's listening to react. He's listening exclusively to be able to grab at that fish. And that is how, unfortunately, so many of us listen. I'm not in a conversation with the people that I love most of the time, sitting there really absorbing what they have to say, allowing myself to go on that journey. No. I'm listening for the thing that I can grab onto so I can make a point. I'm listening for the thing I can grab onto so that I can react and fix it, or I can prove that I'm more correct than them and shut them up. And that's not authentic listening. And this is why, when I'm doing that kind of listening, the person I'm speaking with will inevitably respond, "You're not listening to me." And I'll get very frustrated and say, "Well, yes, I am listening to you." The difference is I'm listening to that person in that moment as a spear fisherman, not with the full respect and dignity and patience and humility and self-assuredness that a monk would listen with.
I really like that difference. And, you know, I think that there's a fear that if I listen more like that monk, that we won't kind of get to it. But I think what ends up happening in those, I'll admit it, rare opportunities where we can listen to each other that way, and we actually encounter each other, there's a lot more humility, a lot more openness, and a lot more willingness to work together toward wherever it is that we're going, instead of constantly worrying about being manipulated by each other. And I think that you raise some excellent points. If folks would like to learn more about your good work, I really encourage them to go to CatholicCounselors.com and check out your bio there. And thank you so much, Jacob, for being with us and sharing these insights. Great way to kick off and continue this work. Yeah. And I think a real good reflection on how what we're talking about really isn't just good for relationships, but it's a spiritual exercise too. So thank you so much. We're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Listen Up. And if you're having a hard time feeling heard or experiencing communication breakdowns between you and someone you have to deal with on a regular basis, let us help you find grace-filled ways to close the gap. 877-573-7825.
Like the saints, do our loved ones who have gone before us still participate in the living tradition of prayer? The Catholic Catechism says they participate by the witness of their lives, the transmission of their writings, and their actual prayer right now. Witnesses in heaven contemplate God, praise Him, and constantly care for those they have left on earth. When saints enter into the joy of their master, they are put in charge of many things. The Catechism asserts that the saints' intercession is their most exalted service to God's plan. Thus, we should be asking them to intercede for us and for the entire world. Sometimes personal charisms of witnesses to God's love for mankind are passed on as the spirit of Elijah was passed on to Elisha and John the Baptist in order that their followers may have a share in their spirit. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
I repeat, I'm sure ad nauseum to the guys who are here, a line from Pope Benedict Emeritus now, who used to say over and over again, to be a Christian is not the result of an ethical choice, but the result of an event, an encounter, a meeting with the living God in the person of Jesus Christ. This and nothing less is what it means to be a Christian. So we said the new evangelization is new in ardor. That's a kind of old-fashioned word. What in the world is ardor? Ardor is zeal, fervor, passion. Are you passionate about Jesus? Passionate about Jesus. Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know Him?
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Anxiety is such a commonplace experience that we often feel like there's something wrong with us when we aren't feeling anxious. We wonder what new threat to our security or peace we're missing. But how do you know whether you're experiencing normal garden variety stress and anxiety, or whether you're struggling with something more serious? Has anxiety become a regular part of your life? Does it impact your performance at work, or make it harder to enjoy your relationships, or prevent you from having the energy to do the things you used to enjoy? These are good signs it's time to seek professional help. People often wait years before getting appropriate counseling help, and by then the problem's been allowed to grow into something that's having a serious impact on your life, career, and relationships. Anxiety is very treatable, and a vast majority of people who seek help get better. If you're ready to win your battle against anxiety, check out my book, Unworried, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Listen Up. As we talk about those times when we feel like we're having a hard time being heard, when communication problems are causing tension between us and someone we have to deal with on a regular basis, how do we break through that tension, the misunderstandings, and start to work toward resolution? And even better, strong communion through more effective communication. 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next caller, we want to send out congratulations to another EWTN radio partner, KSHF 96.7 FM, serving Española, New Mexico, is celebrating 10 years with EWTN.
Woohoo! Congratulations to Larry Martinez and everyone at St. Joseph Radio from your friends here at EWTN. And folks, wherever you are tuning in to EWTN Catholic Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN station, certainly with your prayers, but with your dollars as well, if you're able. Let's keep EWTN Catholic Radio going strong for decades to come so we can do what we're doing right here. Keep supporting you in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. And again, thanks so much to St. Joseph Manionette Radio from all of us here at EWTN. We're taking your calls on our show titled Listen Up, 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Lauren, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Oklahoma on Oklahoma Catholic Radio.
Hi, Lauren. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I'm going to try to make this succinct. It's kind of like been a drama unfolding for like a year. A year ago, I found out that my sister was getting divorced through my mom. And she didn't want me to, like, let her know that she told me, so I just didn't say anything. But I was very surprised because I thought they had a solid relationship. So I wasn't on Instagram or anything like that, but I decided to get on Instagram to see what, you know, to look at her page or whatever. And I was totally shocked at what I found. It was, like, totally just like provocative type pictures, like inappropriate for a wife or mother, you know, and not somebody that I recognize, like as my sister, you know. So I called her and kind of tried to like talk to her, and then she did tell me she was getting divorced, and I in my own way tried to admonish her, you know, on the phone about the pictures, but I didn't directly say the pictures, which I should have, but I just, you know, she's going on about reasons why they're getting divorced, you know, and it just clearly sounded like she was just making it up. Like, I just didn't even believe her. And because I knew these pictures, you know, like, had to have a lot to do with the demise of her marriage.
Mm.
So,
now, Lauren, I'm hearing some stuff here, though. I'm hearing some stuff here. First of all, your mom told you about this, and you were totally shocked because you thought they had a strong relationship. So how frequently do you and your sister talk and share your heart and be part of each other's lives? If this was such a shock, how often do you actually...
We don't talk that much.
Okay.
Then why is that?
Once or twice a year, and then we get together and have a family vacation once a year.
And why is that? Why is there an estrangement there between the two of you?
Well, we have had conflict where, you know, we just have, like, a really explosive argument, and then, like, we just stopped talking after that. And then, you know... I did reach out and apologize to her later. She didn't really own up to her side of the, you know, where the fault was, but I was.
And this is the old conversation where you had the argument, or where you tried to admonish her about the pictures.
It was like the old conversation.
Okay.
So just like in the past. Yeah.
All right, I got you. All right, so let me offer some thoughts on this. So, you know, we have a tendency to think that because somebody holds a certain title in our life, that gives us certain privileges in that relationship. So, you know, this person is my sister or my brother or my mom or my adult child.
Whoever, yeah.
And because of that, I should have the right to say certain things or treat them in a certain way. But especially when it comes to adult relationships, that doesn't really hold. You know, those labels are important, but they don't necessarily convey the privileges that we'd like them to, right? Because our ability to be effective in admonishing anybody is directly related to the closeness that we have with that person. Think of it this way. To admonish somebody requires a certain depth of relationship, okay? Like, they have to be able to understand where I'm coming from. They have to feel like I understand where they're coming from. So there has to be a certain depth to the relationship.
And there has to be a sense of respect between the two people. If somebody that I barely know, or somebody that I even know but I hold no respect for at all because we have a history or because they're a particular way, comes to me and tries to tell me how to live my life, it's going to bounce off of me. It might annoy the heck out of me, but it's going to bounce off of me. I'm not going to take it into my heart, into my mind, into my prayer life and say, wait a minute, this person has something about their lives that I really want, and I really need to take this into consideration. This could really be healing for me. So when we don't have that relationship with someone, or it's been antagonistic, we can't be very effective in leading them out of darkness in their lives.
So a good rule of thumb, just to kind of summarize all this, is that a relationship needs to be deep enough to contain the conversation you want to have with somebody. And if so, what that means is, you know, if when we talk, we usually talk about current events and, you know, maybe opinions here and there, but it never goes beyond that. That's a certain level of conversation. But talking about your needs or your struggles or your fears, faults, and failures, that requires a much different level of intimacy. And to jump from, say, level one or two of, you know, current events and, you know, opinions, all the way up to that deeper level of intimacy addressing fears, faults, and failures, you get the bends, like a scuba diver who goes down too deep too fast, right? And then it never ends well. So you know, but as a Christian, right, you see your sister, who you do love, even though you don't get along great and don't talk to each other much, you see her making choices that you're concerned about. And we feel this, I need to say something, because if I don't say something, who will?
Exactly.
Right? Even more important than saying something is making sure that whatever we say will be received in a way that would turn their heart to Christ. Saying something just for the sake of saying something and making ourselves feel better about it is, and I don't mean that you were doing this from this place. I think you were doing it from a sincerely good place. But it's Satan uses that, you know, to kind of cause us to kind of fall into a little bit of sense of pride. Well, I can go and I can rescue her, even though I haven't invested in this relationship. And he wants us to fall into that trap so that he can use us and our interactions to push that person even farther away. Because, oh, well, see that, you know, my sister, who's supposed to be a Christian, is just judging me. She doesn't care about me the rest of the year. She sees those pictures and she had to call me. Again, I'm not saying that was your intention.
But that's how Satan's twisting it.
Right. Okay. So we want to make sure as Christians that if we're going to admonish anybody, we want to make sure that we have the relationship with them, that it would allow them to receive it well enough so that they can hear it and turn to Christ. So what do you need to do instead? You want to pray about it and ask, what role does God want you to play in your sister's life? And you want to, as much as you can, as much as you have the emotional energy to do this and the time to do it, which again is why you need to do this in prayer, you want to try to come alongside of her and just really listen. Where is she at? What's she going through? Let her open up to you. Not necessarily about this. Don't go in with an agenda. You know, go back to what we were talking about with Jacob in his segment. You know, don't listen like the spearfisher. Listen like that monk who really just wants to be in that moment with her and receive where she's coming from and understand what's going on in her life, at the point where she feels like you've really invested that energy in it, she'll open up to you about her struggles.
But it's going to take a while. It's not going to be a one-conversation thing.
Yeah, and when she asks you, that gives you the permission to say something. Now, again, you want to be careful about what you say. It would be best to ask questions. Well, anytime we confront somebody or admonish them, it's not admonishing isn't saying, what you're doing is wrong. Admonishing is, help me understand what you're trying to do there. And would you be open to talking through some other ways to get that need met? You know, and let's kick it around a little bit together. You know, admonishing, it's easy just to say, oh, stop doing that. That doesn't cost us anything. It makes us feel good about ourselves without having to actually do anything.
And again, it's well-intentioned, but it's ineffective. And here's the situation, Lauren. It's, yes, this is not healthy for her, not healthy for her relationship. It's at the very least a near occasion of sin, perhaps sin itself. However, any sin we have is based in something else. Pain. Work off and say, oh, well, I just think I'll go out and, you know, commit sin today. Yay me. It's based in something. Some kind of wound, fear, pain. And when we get to know somebody's heart, when we listen, as Jacob Flores Popcheck was talking about, with the ears of a monk instead of a spear fisherman, we get past the symptom of that fear, wounding, or pain, which is the sin, and get to the healing of the wound that's there, the pain they're feeling, the fear they're living in.
Yeah, because, you know,
causing us.
Well, the etymology of the word sin, it's an old English word that means missing the mark. It doesn't mean you're a bad person or you did something bad. It means you missed the mark. So missing the mark means that you were aiming at something good, but you missed. Right. And so in order to admonish someone properly, we need to understand what they were aiming at and then help them aim better. Not just say, shame on you for missing the mark. Right, and so that's why the relationship is so important.
So this can really be, Lauren, an invitation from the Holy Spirit to you to start healing this relationship with your sister, between you and her, not between her and her husband. That may or may not come if the Holy Spirit wills, but between you and her, so you can have a deeper relationship. You can have an influence on her. Now, don't heal the relationship just to make her a project. Heal the relationship because being in that deeper relationship with her could really heal a lot of things for both of you. If you don't feel called to heal that relationship when you pray about it, then just stay out of it and perhaps, you know, talk to your parents about what they can do to help heal it if they're closer to her.
I mean, thank you so much for the question, Lauren. I really believe that this is coming from a good place, and I hope that you'll take this back to prayer and see where God leads you.
You must take it back to prayer for any of it to be effective.
And whether you do have the emotional energy and the time that would take to really build the kind of relationship that would allow you to come alongside your sister in all of this. Thanks again for the call. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. You know, one of the areas where communication breaks down constantly is on the home front.
Yes,
husbands and wives, parents and kids of all ages. And it's something that we deal with every day on Catholic Home. That's spelled Catholic H-O-M. It stands for Households on Mission. It's an app where you can get daily coaching support to build a more loving, caring, and connected Catholic household on mission. It's not a replacement for counseling, but it's a place to turn to ask parenting questions, to talk about how you can experience Christ more meaningfully at home and experience your faith as a source of the warmth in your home. We just dropped a whole bunch of downloadable activities for the month of February that
They're
are really
so
awesome.
Good.
There's exclusive podcast content there. And again, a whole community of Catholic families just like you getting daily support and coaching from Lisa and myself and our whole team of pastoral counselors. If you are looking for a place to turn so you don't have to feel like you're out there stumbling around on your own trying to build that family life that God is calling you to, and you want to be a more confident Catholic parent, become a subscriber to the Catholic HOM app and join the Catholic Home community. We hope we'll see you there and help you build better communication through living out that love that Christ has in his heart for you and your Catholic household on mission, your Catholic home. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27.
Whoever restrains his words gains knowledge, and he who maintains a calm spirit gains understanding. Boy, does that line
with
up.
With all that.
Boy, does that line up with that metaphor that Jacob Flores Popchick gave us about, you know, the spear fisherman or the monk. It really is that idea of, let's get some self-control in the situation. Let's invite the Holy Spirit into the situation so that we can have that listening ear and that listening heart so that we really can keep conflict out of the situation as we go in the way God asks us to.
And if you're struggling to do what this verse is talking about, what Lisa was just building on, don't hesitate to give us a call at 877-573-7825. We'll be back with your questions about those communication breakdowns and how to heal them when More to Life continues right in a minute.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
You remember the time I said on the air, go to confession. And when you're done, go out and have a big ice cream soda. Celebrate. And a man wrote to me, he says, you know, I hadn't gone to confession in 30 years. Do you mind if I went and had a pizza? I said, oh, have 20 pizzas.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Steve Ray here. Next year's a Jubilee year, and we're going to celebrate it in Rome. But not only Rome. This is our Saints and Shrines of Italy pilgrimage, and joining us is our good friend Teresa Tomeo.
Yes, Steve, fantastico. Walking through the holy doors, immersing ourselves in the deeply Catholic culture of Italy. I'll be joining you and Janet in Florence and Assisi.
Join us this May for the Jubilee year, from Milan to Florence and much more, all the way to Rome.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on the show, it's titled Listen Up, as we talk about those times when we are experiencing communication breakdowns and conflict between us and the people that we share our lives with. If you're looking for some grace-filled ways to resolve the tension and find resolutions, give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Dolores, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hey, Dolores, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out? Go ahead, Dolores.
Oh, hello. Yes.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you
just fine.
Oh, okay. Yes. I'm calling about what you're speaking right now about the communication breakdown. And I've been trying to have communication with my husband for the past 16 years. And every time I bring it up, he just like shuts me down, and it's like a volcano that erupts all the time. So,
what are you trying to communicate about, Dolores? What is it that triggers him?
Well, getting to know him. Communication first.
Just getting to talk with him at all.
Yes.
What does he want to do?
He says that he just gets tired and that always just that we can't ever get a small conversation unless, you know, it's an argument.
So he doesn't want to talk to you at all is what I'm hearing you say. Is that correct?
Kind of, sort of.
So, Dolores, when you try to have these conversations, is it just on the fly? Is it just in the, you know, middle of the day and suddenly you want to talk and he's tired, or in the middle of something, or the end of the day when he's exhausted? Or do you two set aside time to actually say, this is when we're going to talk today?
Yes, I've attempted that all the time.
And
he just rejects that, or what?
Yes, he does.
So what I'm hearing you say is that he doesn't want you to bother him. He just wants to be able to kind of be in the house and do his own thing, and you just live separate lives. Is that correct?
Yes.
And he rejects any efforts to kind of bridge that gap?
Yes.
Okay, so you're asking what to do about that. So you're describing a man who has what we would call an avoidant attachment style. That's somebody who doesn't really know what to do with a relationship or how to open up. And it's usually rooted in a lot of childhood wounds by growing up in a household where there wasn't a lot of affection, wasn't a lot of sharing of emotion. Vulnerability seems very scary to somebody like that. They might lean heavily onto wanting sex, but they won't ever do anything to build intimacy or real connection.
And it sounds like, from what I'm seeing on the board and what you said, you know, you're saying that you were married for 17 years, you were busy raising the kids all this time, they're gone now. And that's often when women especially, but couples in general, who have lived a life like you're talking about, because, hey, we're raising kids. Isn't this normal? I'm busy with the kids. All my emotional needs are filled through the kids. And the husband is sort of like this add-on to the marriage and to parenting. And you think, okay, well, we're fine. And then suddenly the silence comes in when the children are gone, and you begin to say, oh, wait a minute. This isn't just because we're busy. This is because of how he relates.
I want to say something about this as a way of encouraging you. Most people don't realize this, but marriage is a healing sacrament, just like all sacraments are healing sacraments. The sacraments were instituted by Christ to heal different ways that sin impacts our relationship with God and each other. And so marriage, Christ instituted the sacrament of marriage to heal the damage that sin has done to our ability to love others the way God would have us love them. And so encouraging our spouse to address wounds like this is exactly what the sacrament is calls us to do, because God wants to use our relationship to be an instrument of healing for each other's childhood wounds and other things. Obviously, we can't fix each other. I'm not suggesting that. But I'm saying there's an opportunity to grow and heal and change in ways that I never would in any other relationship where I could avoid the person, right? You know, if I'm living in the same house with my wife, it's hard for her to not know me or me to know her. It's hard for us to not step on each other and have to deal with each other and wrestle with our stuff. And in the grace of God, he wants us to do that so that he can use those interactions to heal us. Your husband is ordered toward rejecting that because of his specific wounds. And this is not a wound that you can heal on your own. You're going to need to get professional support to know how to deal with this, because that avoidant attachment was there long before you showed up, and he's very good at maintaining it. So at this point, I would even if he's not willing to get help, I would encourage you to reach out to a counselor who is good at what's called systems theory. That is a type of counseling that enables one person to begin making a change in a relationship, even if the other person isn't necessarily on board. And you can work with that person to figure out, you know, how far can you push it without breaking the relationship? Where do you need to build rapport? Where do you need to set boundaries? How do you convey the message that, look, things are changing with you or without you, so you want to get on board this train so you can be part of the change? Because right now, as far as he's concerned, the relationship works for him. He just stiff arms you, keeps you at arm's length, doesn't talk to you.
He's comfortable.
He's happy. He's fine. You're going to have to work with somebody who kind of messes that up for him, but not so much that he goes, but enough that it makes him uncomfortable and it makes him want to work with you to change it. You're not going to be able to do that on your own, but working with a good systems theory practitioner can really help you do that. We do a lot of that kind of work in single spouse pastoral counseling through CatholicCounselors.com. If you'd like to work with us, we'd be happy to help you with that. If you'd like to seek a local referral from your pastor, I encourage you to do that. But this is definitely not something that you can fix on your own. This is a kind of an emotional and spiritual cancer that needs very serious treatment in order to be healed from. And you can play an important role in that, but in a supportive way, working with a professional who knows how to treat attachment wounds. Dolores, thank you so much for the call. We've added you and your husband to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And that goes for you listeners as well. If the communication breakdown has gotten to the point where you just really don't know what to do, and it's an important enough relationship for you to want to work on it, then we're here for you. Don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, where we can connect you with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.